back, friends. We're continuing our reflection on the word safety. And now we're to the part that appeals to my heart as a wife, a mother, and now a grandmother many times over. And that is practical. Practical applications for developing a grace-filled, virtuous life, which promises the peace of Christ to the best we can have it here in a fallen world. Rather than looking for a safe world, in the midst of a fallen world. So we'll lean, of course, into Father's expertise on how he has guided so many souls through the years on this. But the first thought that came to my mind is personal prayer time. And I've heard different metrics for personal prayer through the years, and I suppose people are being generous at saying 5 minutes, 5 minutes. But to my mind, I know what it is to be busy. I really do. But if a soul is only spending 5 minutes in personal prayer, I'm not sure just how that gets enough.
Recharge
is right. And to my mind, I think that it should be up to 15 minutes. And that's not counting, which is be the next one, the daily rosary. I think that when I first started, church work, if you will, working with souls, whatever title we want to call it, I hesitated, Father, in saying praying the daily rosary. And not that I love the rosary. I love it. But the church is this banquet. There's Liturgy of the Hours. There's the Divine Mercy Chaplet. There's Novenas. Daily Mass. Right now we're doing the 40-day prayer with the U.S. Grace Force. So that's prayer of exorcism, prayer of reparation, the different litanies. The beautiful one with St. Michael. So there's just so much, right? And how the Lord wants to interact with each soul is his business. It's not my business to tell a soul what he should be or she should be doing with the Lord. However, with the times that I have found myself, that I find myself in, and the constant request of Our Lady of praying the rosary, what went from the rosary is one beautiful aspect of prayer and meditation has now become, no, I really think we sort of need to be praying a daily rosary. What are your thoughts on that?
No, the rosary is absolutely essential. It grounds us. It combines vocal prayer with contemplative prayer. It is one of the most perfect prayers we have outside of the Mass. So yes, and you could be surprised how often you could get your rosary done just in driving somewhere, because a rosary, if you're spending a good amount of time on it, could take 10 to 15 minutes, and that's really a short trip for any of us, especially Texans. You can get multiple rosaries in most of the time, so that is essential. I'm reading a book, and now of course the name is totally gone from my mind, but it's a book that the bishop gave us. It was written in 1961. And it's specifically geared toward priests, parish priests, and it's trying to dispel the notion that the religious priest has a higher calling than the diocesan priest, because the religious priest has his community, he has his monastery, he has his stable life. The diocesan priest has a lot more danger surrounding him, and he has a lot more responsibility with the lay faithful. So for a priest, he is insistent on a type of prayer, not necessarily protracted, but that really enters into the groans of your heart speaking to our Lord. And this can be done really literally within 10 minutes of your day, and not necessarily all together either. You can be in a room full of people and still enter into a very deep state of prayer. We have to develop this skill. And it is only really by a trial. Try ask our Lord to perfect it, speak to him with those unspeakable groans that scripture talks about, enter into that relationship where he is your absolute best friend. No qualms.
That's exactly right. The next ideas that came to my mind was a nightly examination of conscience and also a good monthly confession. And taking stock of where we really are before going to bed, putting it right. I think it keeps us real. It helps us putting closure to what went on in that day. And God willing, we could approach the next day with a little bit better intent, or perhaps a little more peace about it. And I think monthly confession, good confession, a good confessor is worth their weight in gold. And I didn't write it down, but I should have, also a good spiritual director. I think that is key, because a lot of faithful have had such poor formation. Not only have they had poor formation, but they've been told such horrible things in confession itself. And it wasn't too long ago, this individual was telling me that they had been confirmed in their sin by different sources. And that's awful. That's an awful thing. So that's why I highlight the word good. And a spiritual director is not the same necessarily as a good confessor. Right? Especially if you've got a line out the door, as opposed to someone who can just sit and help you to unpack particulars in a life.
Okay, so I'd like to add a couple things to that. I'd say every 5 to 10 years, a general confession where you make an appointment with a priest, it should never be more than 10 to 15 minutes. A general confession should not be more than 10 to 15 minutes. Because if it is, then you're just adding too much detail to the story. Then in your regular confessions, be it once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month, it should never go longer than 3 minutes. Never. It doesn't have to. Get to the point. Tell the priest your sins. You say, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It has been blank since my last confession. And you normally state your state in life. I'm a mother. I'm single, I'm a priest, I'm a religious, and then you give him your sins, starting with the worst. It's better to start with the worst and to the least. And you get it organized in your mind or written on a sheet of paper, but you really don't need to mention any more than 5 to 6 or 7 venial sins. It's just not necessary. The 5 or 6 or 7 that are bothering you the most. And then in the next confession, keep asking our Lord, begging our Lord to inform you of the sins you need to confess that are highest on the list since you've been to confession. If you do that consistently, you'll begin to go in every part of your garden, and you're not just staying in one part of the garden, and you're weeding out every part of the garden that needs weeding. You're not, because if you say the same thing over and over again, it's boring, it's not effective, and it's hiding some of the sins you need to confess.
Exactly right. Almost like a garden of graces, Father.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Holy Mass, where possible, and then during these times, that is more of a trial than it should be. Continual study. I think that's also a very key point. Peter, 1 Peter 3:15, right, admonishes that we should always have an answer for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That only comes from study. I have a friend that I do my Garden of Graces show with, Sarah, and she says, Karen, our generation doesn't lack information. We might lack discernment and attention to it, but we don't lack the means of it. I mean, I could pull up Pius IX's encyclical from 1864 with a click, right? 50 years ago, we wouldn't have been able to do that.
Right. So, you brought up the point of the Mass. we must always remember, even in offering masses, that a mass that we go to or that we offer for someone who's living is exponentially more beneficial to that soul than a mass offered after their death. Now, of course, it's going to help them after the death, but we want to get in those relational aspects of holy mass while we're alive, and never doubt nor discount other people who are with you. I've been in parishes where there have been several very, very holy people in the pews. You can feel the power.
Sure can.
And they're in every parish. Yes, there's the dead weight, of course, but there are just the stalwarts in every parish. And when you're praying with those people, you're getting a lot more graces.
Exactly, Father. Exactly. Fasting, we're on the practical applications for developing a grace-filled life. Fasting, we're physically, if one's physically able to do so. And then joining our sufferings to the cross, because that's what we can bring, if you will, to the table of helping to cooperate, to be cooperators within our own soul, is to offer up those sufferings the Lord chooses to permit to us for our benefit, for benefit of others. And I highlight again, Father said, I've been around people. You can feel the grace. You can just feel it. And I've seen healings, been party to them. My mother was party to it from prayers of very holy people.
Absolutely. So you touched on fasting. I'm of the opinion that everyone can fast, in the sense that you can fast from eating more of the food you like. You can fast from eating an exact moment you want to eat. Put that eating off for an hour or two. And it's not going to in any way affect your health at all. Eat a little bit more of what you don't like, a little bit less of what you do like. There are a myriad of ways to fast. But one of the best things for even those who are with mild health problems is on Fridays, for example, to eat one meal and not to eat it until 6 p.m. You don't eat anything until 6 p.m. It's not going to kill anyone. And that is a form of fasting.
That's right. And that's generally the form of fasting we do around here is at least until this crisis hit. But generally, at least once a week, we do one meal a day fasting. Father, would you please give us your blessing and any people, any friends who will happen to have seen this?
Dear Lord, we thank thee for this time together. We ask that all those who are viewing this or hearing our voice may be affected to change their life and to keep growing closer and closer to the only one that matters, the Trinity. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et maneat semper. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
You're welcome.
Till the next time, my friends, fides, Erratio.